Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll remind you, the walls of Jericho did not come down until they made some noise. Hallelujah. Gideon didn't defeat the army until they blew the trumpet. They made some noise. Hallelujah. The children of God ought to be the noisiest people there are, thanking God for everything he's done. Thanking God. Hallelujah. You ought not be able to shut a child of God up. Thanking him for all the goodness and all of his mercy, all his loving kindness, forgiving you of your sins, giving you breath and life and health and strength. God's been good to me. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Would you stand? I want to read this passage of scripture. It's 7-8 verses. Just stay with me. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We've read this many, many times, quoted it. I want to bring to you a thought this morning that perhaps you have not dwelt upon, but I pray, open up your eyes to new avenues. I like new avenues of hope. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Did you know to just pray is a humbling thing? You have to humble yourself to pray. And seek my face, that's humbling. And turn from your wicked ways, that's humbling. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Oh my God. See, God is talking to Solomon as he erects the temple, and he brings the glory of God into the tabernacle of the Lord. Now mine eyes shall be open. Oh, my ears shall attend to the prayer that is made. Everybody say, this place. He said, I'm going to, at this place, my eyes are going to be on this place. My ears will be open to the prayers that are made in this temple. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. This is my desire, that my name will be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, Brother Solomon, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom according as it I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fall or fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But, the old but, if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them out by the roots out of my land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified in my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. I want to talk from this subject, the ultimatum. The ultimatum. Lord, I come before you this morning. I am one that is so thankful, hallelujah, for mercy and grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today, God, that you can forgive us of our sins. I'm thankful that you walk up and down the aisles of our hearts, God. Search me, O Lord, as David said, and see if there be any wicked thing in us, God. Hallelujah, that we may repent and take full advantage of your goodness and your mercies in Jesus' name. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I want to take advantage of everything God's got. I've often said, if God's got it, I want it. Because all the gifts that he gives He freely gives. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and abradeth not. Hallelujah. You want more knowledge? It's right here. Hallelujah. The ultimatum. I don't think anybody likes that term. But it is a final, uncompromising demand or set of terms that, if breached, will result in severance of relationship or the use of force. It's called the ultimatum. Anybody ever been read their ultimatum? Yeah. We live, whether you like it or not, with ultimatums on our life. We live in ultimatums. My wife and I are married based on ultimatums. You're sitting together based on ultimatums. You got a job based on ultimatums. You don't perform your job, they yank your job. Just that simple. We live in a world that is full of ultimatums. Ultimatums are not something brand new. They didn't even come by Moses and the law. They came by God. Two people he put in his garden. See, he says, I'm going to take back my land. I'm going to teach you something. He put two people in his garden. It wasn't their garden. The Lord called it his garden. And he was good enough to them and merciful enough to them and loved them enough to put his man in his garden. Didn't have to till, no hoeing, brother. Didn't have to pick the butter beans and cook them. No, so they could just eat them right off the vine. They didn't have to hoe and water, and is it too much rain and not enough? God was good to them. But he gave them an ultimatum the same day he put them in there. The same day he put them in there. He said, you can freely eat of every tree that's in this garden. But the day you eat, I will sever relationship with you. I want you to understand, whew, this is good, that God did not want to sever relationship with them to put a curse upon them. For they were not cursed. The ground and Satan were cursed. But what he did was took away his goodness. That's all he did. Stay with me this morning. Perhaps the most difficult thing that you will ever manage in your life is not your business, your job, your family, your children, your marriage, or any of those kind of things. The most difficult thing to manage in life is your ability to get up when you fall. That's the hardest thing. Because you fall, you're hurt, you know. And now they got these little things for old people, you know. They run around in case they fall. It's a good thing. They can beep, beep, beep. I need help because I help me, I'm falling and I can't get up. And so falling is a terrible thing. And it's not when you fall or if you fall, it's when you fall. Amen. Every Christian has fallen. But the question is, how do I get up again? How do I get restored again? How is it that I can recover from this fall? Will I ever be well again? Will I ever be whole again? Will I ever trust again? Trust is perhaps one of the most difficult things that once it's fallen, it is extremely difficult to be restored. It's not that it's impossible, but it takes God to restore trust. Amen. There's been David said, in my haste, I said, all men are liars. Well, they're not all liars, but in my haste. People make bad decisions in their haste. And so many times when trust is broken, I don't trust nobody. I don't trust a man. I don't trust a woman. I don't trust a preacher. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust my boss. And you walk around in life with not trusting anybody. That's a bad place to be. It's a bad place to be. Trust in marriage can mean two different things to a husband and a wife. I just kind of teach you this. Normally when a woman comes in and talks to me or to anybody about trust, they will say, I can't trust him. Now, you know what she means. Generally, when a woman says in a marriage situation, I cannot trust him, she is speaking of infidelity. She is speaking, even though there may not be any proof, there may not be any evidence, there may not be, but she sizes the situation up and says, I can't trust you. Where are you going? Why are you so late? What's that I smell? Why are you dressed up like that? There's a lack of trust. And so when a woman generally speaks about trust, she's speaking about the infidelity of a man, because the infidelity of a man breaks her heart. Okay? But yet when a man comes in and says, I can't trust her, he's usually not talking about infidelity. He's talking about her letting out the secrets of his heart. But they're both trust. It's adultery in a different kind of way. And so that a man houses in, I mean, let me tell you something. There's nobody ever heard all of a man's testimony. Sister, you ain't heard all his testimony. Sister Petrie, I know you've been married to that man, but you ain't heard all his testimony. And men sometimes in their vulnerable moment will open up the treasure chest of his heart and let you in on something that he don't want the world to know. Listen close. But if you bring that up in an argument, what he let out, you will never get the rest of that treasure chest open. He will seal that forever. You cannot use. Why? Because a man's heart is what's vulnerable. And he's gonna protect his heart so that his heart does not get broken. Because if you get my heart, you got me. If you break my heart, you got me. The Bible says that when Delilah finally got all of his heart, he opened up the treasure chest of his heart. And when she found out his great strength, when she weakened his heart, and when he opened up the treasure chest of his heart, she called in the Philistine and said, he's told me all of his heart this time, and broke that man. That's why men don't talk. Women, they'll let you, men, straight line. Women just talk in circles. What's the point? What's the point? Men, how's your day? Good. They get right to the point because they don't want to elaborate. And a woman will take up for you. Now, let me tell you something. Men will take up for their wives, but women will take up for their man too. But if you ever betray her trust, let me tell you something. You can rob the convenience store and come home and tell your wife, I just robbed the Circle K down the street, and go to your room. There'll be a knock on the door. Police, we're after Marshall Baggett. My wife would say, he ain't here. And she's not in here, so I can say that. He's not here. But if I ever betrayed her trust, brother, she'd say, come right in. He's down there in the hall, right down there in the room. You can get him right now. I'll open the door on your way out. Things that fall are hard to restore. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we need to be careful how we treat each other, because when you betray trust, it is very difficult to ever get it back. Not impossible, but very difficult to get it back. And many people, talking about trust, many people don't want to trust somebody because when you trust somebody, you feel like they control you. That's why you don't want trust. Because if you trust somebody, then they're controlling you. And I would probably tell you, most people don't want to be controlled. Have you ever heard of a blind test or a... In pharmacology and psychiatry also, they have what's called the control group. You heard that? Okay? And they have the treatment group. Let me ask you something. Who gets the real medicine? Which one? Anybody? Scared to answer? Anybody? Which one gets the real medicine? the treatment group. The control group gets nothing. The control group gets a sugar pill. The control group gets a placebo. And yet people say, you're controlling me. No, it's placebo. It's all in your mind. The treatment group got the, because the control group is how you compare what the others do to what you're not taking. I want to be part of the control group. I don't know about you. I know they got experimental drugs and people try them. That's good. But for me, I'll let somebody else try them, let the pigs try them, the monkeys try them or whatever. But I just want to be part of the control group. Now, once it's proven to work, I'll take the thing. But until then, just let me think I'm taking it. And sometimes it works just as good thinking you're taking it as it does when you really take it. Oh, that's a whole nother message I could preach this morning. And sometimes we feel like we're being controlled, but really, God is not in the business of controlling you. We may feel like he is, but he's not. It's just in your mind. You think he is. Ah, oh, man. This is what I've discovered. People that tell you, I